The following is an encore episode of The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde. The topic is Advent. We hope you enjoy.
From the Archdiocese of Mobile, Archangel Radio presents The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde, and also featuring the pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Catholic Parish, Father Stephen Verzel. And now, here's your host, the Director of the Office of Religious Education, Patrick Ahrensberg.
Hello, welcome to The Archbishop Show. I'm Patrick Ahrensberg, Director of the Office for Evangelization and Family Life.
And I'm Father Stephen Verzel, pastor of St. Vincent de Paul Parish at Tillman's Corner. We're joined and led, as always, by our Archbishop Thomas Rohde.
Thank you, Father Verzel. Thank you, Mr. Ahrensberg. Always great to be with you all.
Well, Archbishop, we are in the great anonymous season of Advent.
Anonymous season?
Well, it seems to be kind of largely forgotten and underappreciated, and it's such a beautiful time of the year that I think it is worth talking about. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Would you lead us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen. Dear God, our Father, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of your Son, help us not just to welcome him to Bethlehem or to place the statue of the Christ child in the manger, but instead to welcome him into our lives, into our hearts, and truly place him in our lives, in our hearts, so that our lives may give you honor and glory. As we offer our prayer to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So I want us all to imagine that we're at home and our phone rings, and it's the Apostolic Nuncio, the Pope's representative here in the U.S., and he tells me that the Pope is going to be here in the South, and he wants to come to my home for supper in about 4 weeks. And I agree. Without talking to my wife, that's a separate problem. We'll do another show on that one. So I agree to have the Pope come to my house. And as soon as I hang up the phone, it begins. Oh, my gosh, I've got a lot to do. I've got big projects, small projects. There's so much preparation to get ready to welcome such an august guest into my home. You know, I've got the porch torn apart because I'm trying to redo it. I've got siding that needs to be replaced. Not to mention the menu, and so Advent, Father Verzel, is kind of the time when there is somebody really important that we're getting ready to welcome. And there are some major projects in our lives.
Is that Santa Claus? Is that who we're talking about?
No, not exactly.
Oh, you mean the baby Jesus.
The baby Jesus.
Yes. It's so important for us to remember that Christmas begins on December 25th. And that there is a period of preparation, of getting ready. Our Lord doesn't say to us, I'm here. He says the kingdom of God is at hand, but there is a sort of anticipation that we have when we talk about the coming of the Lord. There, he gives us a chance to get ready for him. He gives us the opportunity where we have to wait in vigil for his coming, just like the 10 virgins in the parable in Matthew 25. And so we have to be keeping watch. We have to be doing all kinds of things spiritually, especially to ready ourselves for the coming of the Lord.
And I guess that's a point I want to pick up on, Archbishop, because there are people running around like mad right now, maybe tuned into this program on their car radio as they're running from one store to another looking for Christmas presents, and they're listening to us say, well, yeah, I'm getting ready for Christmas. I mean, I'm in the midst of preparation for Christmas.
Well, it depends on what you're focusing on, you know, because, you know, this is a wonderful time of year. It's a lot of fun to see the Christmas decorations up. For children, it's a time of glee. And for older people, we remember what it's like to be a child and the anticipation. There's a lot of fun. There are parties and songs, and it's just a good time. But then we forget the reason for the season, as the saying goes. You know, any parent can probably relate to buying a present for someone, for a child, for their son, for their daughter. And when they give the present to their child, the child opens it up, looks at the present, and then plays with the wrappings, plays with the box, plays with the bows. And instead of playing with the present, is playing with the wrappings. And Advent is a time that calls us to focus on the present. We have been given a tremendous present, and that's a Savior. And yet we get caught up with playing with the boxes, with the wrappings, with the tinsel. God, our Father, must look at us like parents who look at their sons and daughters when they've just given a present and they play with the box instead of the present. But the challenge for us is that we enjoy the season so much that we forget about the serious message of the season. Unto us is born a Savior, the Bible says. Mm-hmm. And it's for us to welcome the Savior. You know, what, as one in Father Brazell, you probably remember who said this, what would it profit us if we place the statue of the Christ child into 10,000 manger scenes and not place them into our hearts? You know, and that's it. We put up nativity scenes, we put the statue of the Christ child in the manger, but where the Lord really wants to be in it is in our hearts. And Advent calls us to focus on this, that as you said, Pat, we're about to welcome someone, or at least celebrate that he came to us the first time. But he wants to come into our hearts right now.
And you know, as I think about it, I'm sorry, I completely lost my thoughts. So I'm going to lateral to you, Father.
Well, I love when, you know, I do that all the time, but, you know, I had a great point. I wish I could remember.
I did, and it just went poof.
Well, I want to go back to Pat, your imagery of having a very important guest coming over. One of the most important preparations that you would do is cleaning, and maybe cleaning far beyond what you normally would clean as far as dusting and scrubbing and everything. One of the most important ways for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus into our hearts at Christmas, at the end of time, is the sacrament of reconciliation, that to prepare our souls to clean out, or to allow God to clean away all of our sins is a tremendously important preparation that we need to make as we prepare for the coming of Jesus.
You know, I know that we believe in the Trinity, and there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But to use kind of an analogy, when Dad is coming home, if I'm in trouble, if I've done things, if I've broken a window, his coming home is a little tense. I need to maybe fix that window before he gets home so that I can be filled with joy. And so that's precisely, I think, why reconciliation and a time to really convert my heart during the time of Advent leads to a joyful Christmas, is that, you know, Christ is our judge. He's our friend, he's our Savior, and he's also our judge. And so when I'm clean, when I'm, you know, when I'm free of kind of attachment to some sin, that makes me more filled with joy at the anticipation of his coming.
Yeah, and a lot of all parishes, as far as I know, have an extraordinary penance service during the season of Advent. Many parishes do first reconciliation for the second graders during the season of Advent. But even if you can't make it to one of those celebrations, seek out the sacrament at regular times that when it's offered in your parish, or if that's not going to work, call up the priest for a special appointment. This is one of the times of the year that if you haven't been in a while, consider this the Lord calling you to the sacrament.
The thing, though, about what you all are talking about, which I agree with everything you're saying, but you're making something serious out of this fun time, this joyful time. Can't we just talk about the little baby being born? Why do we have to talk about sin? You know, and that's the attractiveness of, let's just jump right to Jesus' birth. Because the little baby lying in the manger is not threatening. Mm. We have idealized this scene, which probably was not a very pretty scene, but we, in our Christmas cards and manger scenes, whatever, we have idealized it into a beautiful, cute, scene of a little baby in a manger. And that's hardly challenging to us. That's hardly threatening to us. But when we remember who is that little baby there? And that is God Almighty, who did not stay a little baby, who grew up and died on the cross. We realize that there's a serious message underneath the wonderful celebration of Christmas. And Advent says, before we celebrate that baby, let's remember it is God Almighty who has come to us because we were helpless in our sins and came as one like us, took flesh, became a human being. God became flesh to die on the cross for us. And therefore, if we're really going to welcome him to the manger, what we have to focus on is welcoming his gift of salvation. And that requires us to really take an honest look at ourselves. Otherwise, our celebration really becomes meaningless. We're just celebrating a cute scene instead of what the powerful message is of Christmas. God has come to us to die for us so that our sins can be forgiven.
You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM. Pat Ahrensberg here with Father Rizal and our shepherd, Archbishop Brody. And, you know, there's a hymn, The Baby Changes Everything. And my gosh, it does. It is a radical rupture of reality that suddenly God has entered into this reality.
And that message is a joyful message.
Amen.
You know, but that's the real joy of Christmas, that God has come to us. That's what we should look for in the joy, not in the tinsel, but in the salvation that's being offered to us.
So I'd like to ask a question that wasn't in our pre-show notes, so buckle up, guys. It's interesting, it's a little confusing that Lent and Advent use purple. I mean, is it the same purple? Is there a difference? So Lent, we know it's penitential. Is Advent meant to be penitential? What's the kind of emotion of Advent?
Well, let's talk about colors real quick. Do we wear a different color red for Good Friday versus Pentecost?
Can I just jump in here? Because some people are probably listening and they say, wear color when? Like when I go to work? What are you talking? Not everyone listening here is a Catholic. So you want to explain a little bit here?
Yes. So every day at Mass, and you know, there are Sundays where that kind of set the season, the priests and deacons will wear a different color. So green for ordinary time, red for...
the vestments that the clergy wear during church services.
Yes.
Change with the times.
They change seasonally. And, you know, red for martyrs and apostles, white for different saints. But during Lent, they wear purple. And
right.
During Advent, they wear purple. And in many parishes, it's the same purple. So take it from there,
Father.
Well,
in my parish, it's the same purple. Because as I was about to say, that we don't change the shade of red depending on if we're celebrating Good Friday, when we wear red, versus Pentecost, which celebrates the coming of the Holy Spirit. Two totally different things with the same color. The church just specifies that we wear violet or purple during Lent and Advent. That being a penitential color, a color where we're recognizing our inadequacies, our need for God, for his healing grace, for us to be who he created us to be. Advent and Lent are both preparatory seasons, getting us ready for something else. So Lent is leading up to Easter. Advent is leading up to Christmas. Very different feasts and slightly different ideas as far as the preparation goes. I'm not in the camp of wearing a slightly different hue of purple for Advent versus Lent.
To distinguish
Lent.
The two seasons.
I think it's purple's purple. It's fine.
That's legitimate. That's solid. I think it's good that we have this time of Advent so we can just focus. Focus on what's the important thing. Yeah, and we have little things to help us do that. An Advent wreath, for example. And a lot of people have an Advent wreath in their home. Every Catholic church will have an Advent wreath during the 4 weeks of Advent. There are 4 weeks during the Advent season, the time of Advent leading up to Christmas. It's very striking to walk into a Catholic church in December during Advent, and it's probably the only place that you're not going to see decorations up this time of year. Instead, it's just a wreath that will be there with the four candles on it, one for each of the four Sundays of Advent. But it just reminds us that, hey, we're waiting to celebrate the birth of our Savior. And this is not a useless waiting, not a waste of time waiting, but a waiting that we're supposed to use profitably for our own salvation, to take a good look at ourselves. Or, Pat, as you began the program saying, getting ready for someone very important. And because the one who we celebrated, one whose birthday we celebrate at Christmas, is the one who wants to come to us now, because he's coming again. And so there are, we focus on this very important tenet of our faith, this Christian belief that Jesus Christ has come and Jesus Christ will come again. And so he asks so much for us now to let him come into our hearts here and now.
And that's a joyful process, as we've talked about before, that it's a, you know, when somebody you love is flying home tonight, you know, you're joyful and miserable at the same time, because you're trying to get everything ready and they're not here yet, but you're joyful because you know it's about to happen. And that's the sort of transformative effect of Advent, is when you're doing these projects to get ready for the Pope's visit, or you're doing these projects to get your heart ready for the Lord's coming, there should be a joy to that, because he's finally coming. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and it should fill us with joy. Archbishop, if I could just go back to a practical point you made about the Advent wreath. I just really would encourage parents. Kids are not good abstract thinkers, and they have no idea. You were telling a story before we came on air about your nephew.
Yeah, my niece and my nephew both have little boys, four-year-olds, three-year-olds, and they went to see Santa and took their picture with Santa and told Santa what they want. And both of them had the same reaction. Okay, I told Santa what I want. When's Christmas? When do I get the presents? And it was very difficult for their parents to explain to them, no, it's not Christmas yet. We have to wait for Christmas. And to a 3 year or a 4 year, it's like, well, is it tomorrow? When I wake up tomorrow? No. And so both of them went and got an Advent wreath for the house with the four candles, and explained to the kids, that to their sons, that we light a candle every Sunday, because both of them can name the days of the week, you know. They're all right. And when we get to Sunday, we'll light a candle. And when all four candles are lit, then we're ready to celebrate Christmas. And so it has become a real visual for this three-year-old, four-year-old, that they understand, hey, we're waiting for Jesus' birthday, because that's what I told them. When all four candles are lit, then it's Jesus' birthday. And then we can celebrate his birthday, and that's when Santa's going to come at Jesus' birthday. It's very helpful to remind them that we're waiting for someone's birthday. They said, you know, we wait for your birthday, but we have to wait for Jesus' birthday. But those four candles make it visible to a three-year-old, four-year-old. But even we adults can be very childish. Now, I'm not saying childlike, but childish in trying to rush things. And the candles remind us. You know, I remember as a little kid, one of the prettiest sights in the whole world was going to church and seeing all four candles lit. Because I knew,
getting close.
Yeah, this week is Christmas. And one of the most frustrating sights in the world was to go to church and see only one candle lit. You know, is it ever going to get here? But it's a visual that reminds us that this is a time not just of waiting, it's a time of preparation.
And in addition to all of that, it involves fire. And so it's kids love it.
Sure.
Your kids will love.
Well, they make the connection between the candles on their birthday cake.
Mm.
and we have to wait to light these four candles for Jesus' birthday.
So your kids will love having an Advent wreath. My kids love turning out the kitchen light so that it really shines in the darkness. I mean, it is a rich, rich opportunity, parents, you don't want to miss. Get an Advent wreath and do that. You're listening to the Archbishop Show on Archangel Radio, 1410 AM. Stephen Verzel there, Pat Ahrensberg here, and we are with Archbishop Rohde.
So, another thing is an Advent calendar that you can get for children. That it's a picture of the manger or something like that, and there's 24 windows on the calendar, and a child can open a window every day leading up to Christmas Eve. That's another way of reminding kids of that we're waiting to celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Yeah, and you can put a little coin in there or a little piece of chocolate or a little note or something. They take that out, and the kids love it. That's the first thing they do in the morning. I've also seen, Father Verzel, Advent calendars where each day had a different figurine, you know, and you would take it out, and it's a shepherd or it's an angel. And of course, on December 24th, it would be the Christ child in the manger.
Or sometimes it's just one sheet of paper that you just open a window on. So there's all sorts of different Advent calendars, from very simple to very elaborate.
Archbishop, you said a little bit before, when you go into a Catholic church, or, you know, some other denominations too, but if you go into a Catholic church during Advent, it's one of the few places that will not look like Christmas yet. Because it's not decorated with trees and lights and everything, but just an Advent wreath. It also doesn't sound like everywhere else. If you go to the store, if you're driving in the car, listening to the radio, you're bound to be hearing Christmas music during the month of December.
Rocking around the Christmas tree.
That's right.
Or have a holly jolly Christmas. Yeah, keep going.
And any number. Oh, and sometimes they're religious songs, too.
Which, dear faithful listener, that's not necessarily my favorite songs, but go on.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, they'll play the secular Christmas music, but they'll also play Angels We Have Heard on High, The Herald Angels Sing. Those are religious, and those are things that we sing in the church, but they're Christmas songs. They're Christmas hymns. If you go into a Catholic church during Advent, hopefully you won't be disappointed that we're not yet singing all of those Christmas songs. We have a extensive repertoire, actually, of Advent music, and we hit upon a whole bunch of different themes. The season of Advent is kind of divided into two parts. The early part is more focused on the second coming of Christ, and then when you get closer to Christmas after December 17th, it gets more focused on the first coming of Christ and memorializing that at Christmas and getting ready for that that feast day. But some of the themes that we cover in the songs that we sing are like John the Baptist, since he announces the coming of Christ. So there's a number of Advent hymns about John the Baptist, one of them being On Jordan's Bank, the Baptist Cry. Other songs are about the arrival of a king, so singing about a king coming, the King of Glory, and the king shall come when morning breaks. That's it. There's a really famous song called Wake, O Sleepers, the music for which is written by Bach, but it's based upon the parable of the 10 virgins who are waiting for the bridegroom to arrive, and they're falling asleep, but you have to wake up when the king comes. So a lot of those are that kind of looking forward to the second coming of Christ. But then later on in Advent, you have this change that occurs. And we start to focus on different titles of Christ, what we call the O Antiphons, which are really part of the Liturgy of the Hours, but everybody knows them from being incorporated into a hymn called O Come Emmanuel. And the seven verses of O Come Emmanuel all focus on a different title for Jesus Christ that it comes from the Old Testament. So, Advent music is really very rich. And also we have songs about the Virgin Mary, too, because we have the feast day of the Immaculate Conception on December 8th. But also even the story of the Annunciation is something that is recalled in the liturgy of the church in the days leading up to Christmas. So we sing about the angel Gabriel from heaven came. Lots of really cool songs and lyrics that we don't want to skip over. We'll get to the Christmas songs soon enough.
Yeah.
Well, and you know... one thing in listening to you struck me. So much of the focus, especially in the majority of Advent, is not upon the manger or Bethlehem. It's upon John the Baptist. And secondarily, the prophets of the Old Testament. These are not touchy-feely, warm-fuzzy personalities at all. And, you know, it just reminds us again, but the message of get ready, make straight the way of the Lord, as John the Baptist says, is a challenging, serious message. So before we get to the point of celebrating Mary and Joseph and the Christ child in the manger, we listen to the very serious words of John the Baptist and the prophets of the Old Testament that repeatedly tell us, get ready, the Lord is coming. That's the same message in our own lives. Get ready, the Lord is coming. He will return for each one of us. We know that neither the day nor the hour. But the one who out of love for us and mercy for us was born in the manger wants to be welcomed into our hearts here and now, so we are ready for his return.
So there are lots of beautiful traditions, a lot of beautiful music. I love the Advent music, and I can never remember it. You know, we try to sing a hymn when we light the Advent wreath. So I usually pull them up on my iPad and get a bunch of hymns so that we can sing. But I find the, and I don't have great taste in music, but I love the Advent hymns. So lots of good traditions, a lot of beautiful anticipation should be going on. So just encourage you, dear listener, to keep Advent, and then let Christmas be Christmas. Archbishop, as we close, would you lead us, would you give us a blessing?
Certainly. May the blessing of God be upon each of you, and may each one of us prepare the way of the Lord into our own hearts, our own lives. May the blessing of God be upon you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Until next time.
You've been listening to The Archbishop Show with Archbishop Thomas J. Rohde and featuring Father Stephen Verzel as well as Patrick Ahrensberg. And now, stay tuned for more solid Catholic programming on Archangel Radio, broadcasting all that is good, true, and beautiful.